We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Get up, it's a Get Up Show.
Are you hearing it?
Are we ready?
Are you hearing it in your headphones? Yes.
I'm not hearing nothing. I'm hearing me. I'm hearing y'all.
Yeah, good.
Are we ready? Are we rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Is this it? Hey, it's the podcast. It's the Simon Says podcast. We're the Get Up Show. Sean and Charlie and Maddie. This is podcast number 34.
We've done it. We're really making headway.
34, man. Loving this cool weather. Feeling like fall brings about all the memories of setting things on fire. I don't know why. When you think about fall, it definitely brings about thoughts of fires for me.
Well, yeah. And just everything, burning everything.
Well, it's like the other morning, it wasn't even that cold, and I smelled a fire. And it's like someone already put a fire in the fireplace, and then it's like, oh, well, now I want one. I want to burn some stuff.
They love that stuff. And we were at the grocery store the other day, and they had a million zillion pumpkins, and they're priced to move, too. I try to always shop for pumpkins a little bit later in the year so that they don't become soup before October.
Yeah, it's way too early right now.
But gee whiz, they're everywhere, and they're looking good. They got those big fat stems on them where you can pick them up from the stems even though you're not supposed to. And they're like 2 for $8. And I like to buy them from the farmers, but they're more expensive than that. And I was thinking, do I go ahead and buy some pumpkins and then know that I'm going to have to re-pumpkin in a few weeks?
Okay, so if you buy those pumpkins and you don't carve them, well, they'll hang around for a while.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I sharpied a pumpkin a few years ago, and it, you know, stayed decorated for a very long, long time.
So if you just want them, like, for your porch decoration, your little happy fall, y'all, and thing, you could probably buy them now. Just don't carve them.
You know,
we got one. Oh, go ahead, man.
Oh, no. So my wife is trying to curb her gourd, her decorative gourd habit.
Good gourd.
She tried to make her own cement pumpkin using old pantyhose and rubber bands and quick drying cement.
What?
And it went okay. So we now have one very heavy, small gourd. So I'm waiting to see how much further she takes that.
That's the craziest witchcraft I've ever heard of. Pantyhose and cement and rubber bands?
Look, I didn't ask. I just said, okay, honey, you're doing great. Love you.
Wow.
That's a good husband right there.
We used to get these giant pumpkins. We used to do an event every year called the Great Pumpkin Drop, where we would go out to Farmer Al's, and we would get pumpkins that we claimed weighed 700 pounds. I think they were a few hundred pounds. They were definitely huge pumpkins.
Yeah, they were big. I don't know how heavy they were, but yeah.
And we would, you know, we'd give Farmer Al $100 or whatever, and we'd drop those off of a crane. And they would splatter across a parking lot, and whoever had the most pumpkin in their numbered square would win a prize, and it was usually a cruise or something like that. But one time I was out at Farmer Al's, and he gave me this beautiful pumpkin, and I loved it so much. And he told me, now when you get that home, you oil that up, it'll orange up. You put some oil on it, it'll orange up for you. And I was like, huh? Okay. Yeah. So that pumpkin was so beautiful, and I think I actually moved with that pumpkin. It was during the part of the year where I was getting ready to move to the new house, and I moved with that pumpkin, and I had guests over for Thanksgiving, and that pumpkin was still there. And like, oh my God, is that real? That's the prettiest pumpkin I ever saw. I was like, yeah, it's real. And it never had a blemish on it, and I never cut it, of course, and it sat there, and I oiled it like I was told to. And it stayed good until, I want to say, like, Valentine's Day, February, somewhere in there. And at some point, I had to nudge it, move it to clean or something. and that's all it took. And like this,
it just disintegrated.
The black gold Texas tea oozed out of the side of that thing. Just, I was like, that's it. You had to take it out in shifts. You couldn't take that whole pumpkin out of the house. Yeah. It was just a gurgling mess by that point. So be careful.
Wait, what kind of oil? For reals, I'm curious.
Motor oil?
Olive oil.
Interesting.
Don't use your good olive oil. Use your frying olive oil. Don't use your good flavor olive oil to orange up a pumpkin.
Okay.
You heard it here first. So fall's coming and we're excited about that. We can't wait for fall. We love it. Also, another thing that, you know, kind of coincides with that, the Reese's pumpkins are back out. But Reese's is messing around and they're going to make a Reese's cup with potato chips in it. What pothead came up with that?
Absolutely.
Genius one, because I think that'll work. I still feel like that's some of my favorite stuff. You know, like when they put all that in the ice cream? That's some of my favorite ice cream.
Well, again, I feel like this only works with fresh potato chips. I feel like the chips are going to get smushy and it's not going to be as good.
I don't think it's the same chips. I feel like they're special chips.
Yeah. Like tater sticks. Like those tater sticks, man. That would do it.
Oh, tater sticks so good.
Oh, yeah, man. Who doesn't love a good tater stick? Like, because, if you busted down some tater sticks and put them in a Reese's peanut butter, in a Reese cup, that would hold up to the, you know, to the demands of Reese's peanut butter. Wouldn't it?
Yeah,
okay,
I think
maybe.
So. You just took me back to like elementary school, brah. Like,
what, tater sticks?
Yes.
Oh my God, I told you all the story about the truck that spilled tater sticks off 85 in Henderson that time, right?
Oh, sure. And everybody was running out and grabbing cans.
Oh my God. And my friend William Dale down at the bottom of the street had a box full. This was big news when the when the tater stick truck overturned on 85. And it was right across the creek and right across the woods from where we lived. And, of course, I was too late, but I got some of the spoils because he had a box full. And there was a few of us friends over there hanging out in the basement, which was kind of like the kids' lounge.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, well, what are we going to do? You know, it's a weekend. It's like, what are we going to do? I don't want to walk all the way to the mall. And another guy goes, what are you talking about? We got a whole box of tater sticks.
Yeah! Best weekend ever.
Yeah, man. So I think, yeah, that answers your question. If it's a thick, hard chip, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
See, so someone like that who then got high and then had Reese's peanut butter cups said, hey, man, you put a handful of these in your mouth and a handful of these in your mouth, I bet if you put them together, it'll make $1 million.
How many people out there right now are going, you know, I did that when I was in college. I did that when I was young, and I didn't make $1 million out of it. What was wrong with me?
How many things have you done and perfected during the course of your life that if you'd have been the one to pull the trigger on it, then you would be the one making $1 million. Like, how many things?
Can't even tell you.
But can you think of one now? Because I know that I've had, how many times have I said to you guys, here's my next $1 million idea?
You say it a lot. I feel there was an app that I thought of, but now I can't remember what it was.
I know. I can't think of any of mine right now, but I say that all the time. That's $1 million idea. I need to do something with that. But clearly, I would have forgotten it, and I'd be standing in front of my board of directors to make the presentation. I'd be like,
So, did either of you go to the beach at all this year during the summer?
No.
Kind of. Yeah, I did.
There is this thing that you saw all over the beaches this year. And it's called the Shibumi.
Yeah.
And it is literally a very long tent pole with a piece of fabric on it that blows in the wind and makes shade on the beach. And there were like hundreds of them. Y'all, these things cost $250 a piece.
Yeah. And somebody from around here made it. Somebody around here invented it.
Yeah, it's a guy. I think it was a guy like at Oak Island or something. But anyway, he came up with it. And I mean, you counted them and there's within a quarter mile stretch, you'd see at least 50 of them. Everybody's buying them up. And it's a tent pole with a piece of fabric on it. Why didn't I think of that?
And it works with sand. You fill up part of it with sand, and that weighs it down so that it won't blow away on you. And
if you ever watch the Mo Rocca's Innovation Nation on Saturday mornings on WFMY like I do, you know that it's all the people who do that are the ones who are like, you know what would work right here? And then they actually make it. Whereas it sounds like we go, you know what would be great? And then like, well, I wish someone would make that.
Well, let me tell you.
I'm going to crack open a beer and talk about it.
Yeah, here's an idea.
I'll give you one. And this is so practical. But before I tell you that, I want to tell you that. What's the name of the, it's a Shibumi?
Shibumi, yeah.
Who else, when you hear that name, goes into song from the Music Man? Shaboopy, Shaboopy.
Oh, Shaboopy.
Shaboopy. Shaboopy.
I know you guys were thinking that.
It's like you're in my head.
I know, like usual. But here's my innovation, and you guys are going to be like, OMG, you're going to be a millionaire. It was nice knowing you, but I know it's time for you to fly. And it was nice knowing you, and this has been great, but listen to what I did. So on my player piano, it got stuck in harpsichord mode, which, God, I mean, you guys can imagine how embarrassing that is.
Oh,
wow.
It is the worst.
When you're playing a contemporary, like Scott Joplin song, and it switches over into harpsichord mode and gets stuck that way, and you pull the little lever to go back to piano mode, and it does nothing, and you think, what has happened here? What kind of chicanery has gone on inside my player piano?
Whatever will I do?
And then you lift the top and you open up the doors and you realize that somehow a spring has gone loose and fallen deep inside the player piano, probably never to be seen again. Because the only thing to do then is to take the motor off and then get down in there with one of those magnets on a stick. You know, those things are cool. Those are good Father's Day gifts.
I thought the thing to do was to take a hatchet to it.
Oh, stop. Stop saying things.
How dare you?
But here's what happened. So instead of dismantling the entire works of the 100-and-something-year-old player piano, I looked at where the spring should have gone, and I was like, huh, okay. There's a little hole there, and there's a spot here where that should be on this control arm, which would pull this up to go back into piano mode so that it won't be in harpsichord when I'm playing a contemporary song, because obviously that's out of place.
Yeah. And that
can't be right. So I found one of those little hook screws, you know, those hook screws that you put in the wall to hang something on.
Yeah.
And I put that into the hole where the spring would have gone, and it fit perfectly. And I was like, okay, halfway there. And then I went into one of my many, many junk drawers. As you know, every drawer in my house is a junk drawer.
Yeah.
And I got several bread ties and like twisted them, braided them together. And then I put that in the hole on the other end of the lever and secured that real good. And then pulled it tight to where it was the exact right length of bread tie. And then met it with the wall screw, the hook screw, and danged if that didn't work. And now my harpsichord / piano bar works perfectly in my 100-year-old player piano. Boom.
Why are you wasting your time on the radio when you clearly should be an engineer?
Man, I know. These instructions, when you put this out, it's going to be a bag with a hook screw and like 8 pages of instructions.
Yeah. But I think the deal is I couldn't very well, like, when you guys get home and you start messing around with your own player pianos.
Yeah.
And you're messing with the harpsichord feature on it.
Uh-huh.
If something goes wrong and I'm trying to tell you this over the phone, you're going to be crying and crying. It's really a thing that I have to do in person.
Yeah,
so
it's funny because I kind of, the part of me while you were just explaining that was crying and crying. So I feel like I already have my player piano ready to go to fix, and you've just walked me through it, and now I'm going to Google it on YouTube.
I wonder what you would find if you looked up my player piano stuck in harpsichord.
For real though, I swear to God, you will probably find a video of someone like, hey guys, listen, I have a player piano repair company and maybe yours is stuck
in harpsichord.
Like, I figured out how to start my, I've got, my car has a stupid, the keyless start thing where you just have the fob and nothing else. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work the other day, even though I had the key. It said there was no key. Anyway, Google it. And sure enough, there's a YouTube video. I now know how to start my car if my thing is dead. This is pretty awesome.
Oh, so
there's
a video
for everything.
Yeah, we have this hot tub that was given to us, and it's something in the wiring is off. And so my boyfriend's trying to figure out the proper way for us to hook it up. And he starts Googling, and there's a guy called the Spa Guy, and he answers every question you ever could possibly have about a hot tub.
Is it Lee Majors? Oh, that's the Fall Guy.
No, that's the Fall Guy. It's either the Spa Guy or the Spa Man. But either way, it's any question you could ever think of.
Yeah, when you talk about hot tubs and bad wiring, I don't know. I get
those
a little
are two things.
That,
Well, what's even crazier is that in somewhere in one of his videos in the comments section, someone had asked him a question, and he was like, "Dude, I'm sorry I missed this comment. Call me." And he had his phone number there. And so my boyfriend actually dialed the number, and he answered. And it was funny because I was just listening. I had only heard the guy's voice from the video. And I'm like, wow, that's that guy. Huh. He's talking to him, asking him this question.
That's pretty cool.
See, yeah. I would make fun of, you know, the whole thing with the kids and the YouTube videos and stuff. And I make fun of them for watching their videos. And like, what are you watching? This is stupid. I am obsessed currently with a guy who does off-road tow truck recoveries. He's based out of Utah. I'm like at the point where I want to buy his merch, but I've now sit there and watch hours of this guy just towing people.
Are you serious? How do you have time for that?
This is what I do, man.
Really?
I'm a connoisseur.
Show prep.
Yeah.
Show prep.
I multitask.
It's for the show.
I love it.
I guess if I wanted to, I'd have time for that. I just don't feel like I have time to get into that stuff, or my head starts burning when I start watching that stuff.
Oh, wait. Well, shout out to, was it Winder or Winder Towing in Hurricane Utah and Matt and the crew, just in case they listen to the podcast.
Just in case.
Oh, sure. I'm sure.
You got to mention, hashtag. Yeah. You've got to hashtag a minute, and they'll check it out.
All right,
we'll
yeah.
get new listeners that way. Awesome. So I will say that I haven't gotten into any one of those, like one specifically that I'm just watching over and over again. But every time I go to find a video on how to do something, I end up watching 10 because I'm like, well, I'm not sure I like the way that guy did it. Maybe there's something easier, or maybe there's something, maybe there's a different way. How
really?
Can I say? Oh, yeah. And I will end up watching so many videos.
That's wild. I've never watched a video on how to do something ever. I just
always,
if I'm going to fool with something, I'm just going to try and figure it out.
Oh, see, this weekend, I'm about to pull out the YouTube again because my leaf blower isn't working again.
Uh-oh.
So I'm about to fix it again.
What?
Speaking of electrocution.
Air quotes. It's gas powered. It's fine. It'll blow up before it electrocutes
me. Yeah, that's right. It'll just be a ball of fire. It won't be electrocution.
Yeah, in your face.
Good to know.
He doesn't have to worry about the white wire. He just has to worry about the hot fire.
Different.
Hey. So we were talking, we've talked many times. Our friend Russell, who listens, is a fellow UFO survivor like me.
Mm.
Yeah, and right. As we know, UFOs have overtaken birds as a thing that people watch in the sky lately. There's a story this week about a UFO that was flying over part of New Jersey, and so many people videoed it and uploaded videos of it, and they stopped their cars in the middle of the street. Literally, traffic stopped and people got out of their cars in the middle of the road, and people are flying by honking their horns like, what's going on here? I'm driving here. And they're videoing this UFO, and they're describing it as they're videoing it. They're like, it's just floating there. It just went in a circle. There's a beam of light coming off of it. And they're all just stupefied watching this UFO. And come to find out, it's the Goodyear blimp.
Yeah. So
was it really high up there that they couldn't read the words? Or I'm not sure I understand how you mistake
blurry.
That.
I mean, let's put it this way. It was off in the distance. So, you know, like you could see it for a ways out. And so that far out, you couldn't necessarily read the letters. You could just kind of see that, they have that giant LED screen on it. So you could just see it was glowing. But still, it's like it's a blimp.
If you've ever seen it, you would know it. But I guess, could it be that these people were of an age that they don't have that like that recall.
It flies over every sporting event, though.
But it's
constantly over golf tournaments and football games, and it's out there. It's not like it's been hiding since the 70s.
The world is so different right now that we're expecting something strange and odd at any turn. And I think that if the world were not upturned the way it is, that maybe they would have allowed that was the Goodyear blimp. But
yeah, that's what I think. I think people are just starved for another crazy thing, like, you know, murderous rabbits swimming over from Asia. Or
what?
Yeah, that exactly. That they're like, oh, there it is. There's the UFO I've been waiting for.
But yeah, it kind of did look like the good. And even in the videos that they were shooting as they were describing the UFO that they were watching, I was like, yeah, it does. It looks like the Goodyear blimp to me.
You know, I've started to think about whether or not I need to be on TikTok now just to find like these breaking news stories as they happen, because I feel like now if the aliens do land, the first place you're going to see it is on TikTok.
Yeah, you're right.
And like you're also going to see on TikTok, the first place you're going to see this on TikTok is when a girl feeds her baby alive doll peanut butter.
Of course.
So, I mean, you know, you got that too.
See, I want to see that. I want to see, you know, the hottest new trends. You know, what are kids rubbing on their face or dancing or, you know, like what's going on? But I think that when the aliens land, they're going to, you know, like, we saw you on TikTok. Here we are. Where's Travis Scott? We want his burger.
I used to have Goodyear blimps when I was a kid. I didn't have the fancy ones. They used to have them hanging up in almost every tire store, gas station, whatever. They were little advertising pieces, and they were like balloons that were blown up. Did I ever tell you all that story?
No.
My dad used to procure them in his travels, and he would come home and give those to me, and they were the coolest thing. They did nothing. You know, they were just a balloon, but they had Goodyear written on them, and they were so cool. And we had a stove in the middle of the living room at that old farmhouse we lived in on the Eastern Shore. And so I'd get my Goodyear blimp. He'd come in the house with it, and he had just gotten it fresh from a tire store or gas station or whatever. I'd be like, yes, well, yeah, all right, yeah, a real toy, oh, my God. And so I'd be playing with that, throwing it up in the air, catching it, running around the room and playing with it. And that would last about the evening until it hit that hot stove. And then it would let out. It would hit that stove, and it would let out a... No, it's a big hole because it was a big hot stove. And and that's the end of your Goodyear blimp right there until he got another one. Yeah, I've been looking for one too. I can't believe I haven't gotten one. I've replaced all that stuff.
I hate to tell you this. My brother had the actual Goodyear blimp. They put out a toy that was like, it looked like a model, but it had a little reel inside that had paper on it that had different messages. And you could even fill in the dots and make your own message on it.
Oh,
have you ever seen like the remote control, and not necessarily a blimp, but I have seen the remote control blimp, but I wanted to get a while back the remote control like blimpy, it looks like a shark.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I really wanted that for a while, and there was no reason for me to have that.
Like you put it in the water and scare people with it, like the crocodile head?
No, it floats through the air.
Yeah,
well, that's ridiculous.
Sky.
Yeah, it flies around.
Sharknado, hello.
Nah, man, you need to get one to put in the pond when the kids are playing, like the crocodile head. That thing was cool. The remote control crocodile head for when kids are swimming.
Yeah, or the fin, just a shark fin.
Okay, here's a vintage inflatable Goodyear blimp, 30-plus inches long, $15. That seems like there's no reason not to buy that.
Oh, you can get a couple of them.
But it doesn't look like the one I had.
You know what I have? It's not exactly the same thing, but it's still pretty cool. From somewhere along my travels in my radio station days, I'm not exactly sure where this came from, but I have a blow up Led Zeppelin.
Ooh, whoa, that's cool.
Just watch out for, what was it, a radio tower?
You're talking about the
Hindenburg.
You're talking about the Hindenburg.
Yeah, well, same thing. Yes, it is. It's close enough.
And no, Sean, you can't play with it because I don't want your wood stove to pop it.
Well, I can't find one online to get my own. Let's see. I'm looking, though. Oh, speaking of Led Zeppelin, vinyl record sales just recently overtook CD sales for the first time since the late 80s. Did you guys see
that's
that?
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I can't remember the last time that I bought an actual CD, because for like the longest time I was capping iTunes. And then all of a sudden, like the vinyl thing kicked, and it's like, yeah, I bought more of those than I have anything else. Although I forgot how little I like to flip a record. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, that's true. You kind of have to be in the mood. For me, I have to be in the mood for one side of a record and then move on with my life.
Don't you remember, though, like back when we were kids, you stacked up, you know, five of them and you only heard one side of each record, but you heard five records in a row.
That's true.
You flipped them all over and I need heard the other side.
I need the turntable with the automatic arm where it actually lifts the needle when you get to the middle, because that's the worst. Like, I'll be cooking dinner and it's just like... And I'm like, I got chicken hands.
Holy, jump up and sit down. Original, amazing Led Zeppelin inflatable promotion blimp, 1969 issue. I bet yours isn't that old. But this one is $600 that I just found.
Oh, wow. Is it like a blow-up balloon?
Yeah, it's a blimp. It has Atlantic Records Led Zeppelin on it. And it's got several tales on it. But this one says 1969. They may be just guessing that it's from 1969.
Yeah, I know mine's not, obviously, it's not that old. But wow, now I'm thinking I might be able to get some bucks for it.
Here's a question. Cool? I was cleaning out my office and I found a Sony Walkman mini disc player with all the parts, all the accessories.
Oh my God.
No, but listen, how long do you think it's going to take before that is a hot item? Like, how long do I have to sit on that whole set?
Long time.
Ah.
20 more years.
Well, wait
a
minute.
A long game.
I'm looking at one now. Is it in the box?
No, it's not in the box, but I've got everything for it.
Okay, everything with it, $125. If it's in the box, it's $190.
Well, where do I find a box?
You can make one.
Okay, how much is just the box? Can I put those two things together?
I'm looking.
I actually found that. Well, I was looking for, when I told you like way back, I was looking for that video game. There are people selling like, I'm selling just the case. And it's like, well, why would I buy that?
Because to put yours in too, so that someone wants to buy it in the case.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
So
you're not using your thinking brain there.
I guess.
So I got a phone call the other day. Actually, I was checking messages on my home phone, which doesn't even work. I have it still plugged in for a burglar alarm, but I do not get calls on it ever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even work. But I'm checking messages on it, and it's like, you have 7 new voice messages.
Okay.
And one of them is a message from my little girl when she was a tiny little baby, and I keep that.
Aww.
And the rest are usually hang-ups from telemarketers. And then one is this lady who I don't recognize the number, and she goes, "Hi, this is whatever my name is, and let me just say, you keep calling me several times a day, every day, to tell me about my student loans. Well, I don't have student loans. I have never had student loans. I will never have student loans. And will you please take me off your list?"
Oh, my goodness. Lady,
call my number.
Not how any of this works.
Or did your number get spoofed?
That's what I'm saying. I think my number got spoofed.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So do I call her back and say, "Hey, you called me about calling you about your student loans, but I didn't call you. It wasn't me. What do we do?"
Stop calling me about calling you about your student loans. I have never called you. I will not call you.
Right.
Please take my number.
But while I've got you, how is your vehicle's warranty?
Would you like some seeds? But I wondered, do I do anything with that? Is there any recourse, or do I just think, oh, that's funny, and leave it?
No.
I bet there's a website. I mean, you could probably go online and look it up. Like, how do I report that my number's been stolen for the IRS's?
Now you got me doing stuff. I don't want to do stuff.
I don't think there's a magic way to do it, but I'm sure there's a way you can report it, but...
What do you guys think about, what's that girl's name that we were talking about who gave her kids Odules? It's somebody you know.
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. Why do we know her?
Frozen.
Because she's, she's been on TV.
Oh, she's the voice she's the voice of Frozen. She plays Frozen.
She's Veronica
in the
Mars. She's been in a lot of movies.
Disney star Frozen.
She has 2 little kids, 5 and 7, I think are their ages, and she lets them openly drink Odules in the house. In front of everybody, like there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, it's a non-alcoholic beverage. What's the problem?
But it looks like a beer, and that's so, not cool.
And it feels like a sneaker.
I mean, you never let your kid drink Kool-Aid out of a wine glass?
That's totally different.
No, it's not. It's a non-alcoholic drink, but it looks like one.
No, but it doesn't taste like wine.
It'd right.
be like... The whole thing is that they're tasting beer. Like, the number one thing that you always see is that when a kid tries beer, it's like, ugh, why would
gross.
You drink this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's years and years later you learn to adapt. But what she's basically doing is getting them used to the taste. Now, that said, yeah, there's probably a very strong culture of not drinking because Dax is sober, but... At the same time, what? You're like, you're introducing the taste, which is
the worst part. Have you ever tasted an O'Doul's?
No. Yeah.
That's not beer. Those things are terrible.
Well, it's beer-ish.
No.
It's beer-like.
Well, Kool-Aid is wine-like, depending on what kind of wine you're into.
Wow. All right. All right.
Okay.
Boone
if you
Farm.
Drink a LaCroix, is that a gateway to a hard seltzer? They taste the same.
No.
Nah.
That's not the same thing at all.
No. Why not?
Because it's got a different flavor.
No.
See, I don't
it
even
does,
know
does
why.
Not.
I don't know why somebody
different.
Who's in recovery would even want to have a non-alcoholic beer around. It's like, oh, I just love beer so much. I don't drink anymore, but I love beer. I gotta have some non-alcoholic beer around here.
It might make him feel like he's drinking a beer, and that keeps him away from drinking a real one.
Is there craft non-alcoholic beer? So, like, could you find some sort of beer, like non-alcoholic beer that has flavor?
But would you want that? What's the point?
Well, again, if you're somebody who likes the taste of beer, like if I'm somebody who drinks a lot of like craft beers and then I'm like, well, I don't want to drink anymore, but I still want to have something to drink.
There's tons of them. I'm looking at it now. There's tons of craft non-alcoholic beers.
All right. Because
but I don't
would
know why in the world
O'Doul's.
You'd want that. Why in the hell would you want that?
I don't know.
If you really enjoy the, I mean, some of them are actually delicious. If you enjoy that flavor, then why not?
Yummy. The Sober Carpenter White. Or
oh,
the
sounds terrible.
Athletic Brewing Company Cerveza Athletica.
That sounds like socks.
That I can drink while I'm playing sports.
The Brooklyn Brewery Special Effects Non-Alcoholic. Mmm.
It special that effects.
That doesn't make any sense. Like my buddy Scott used to hate beer. He could not drink beer. He would hold his nose to drink a beer because he wanted the effects of a beer. He was a wine cooler guy.
I can't picture him not drinking beer.
Oh, God, I know. But he trained himself. Over the course of many years, he trained himself to drink beer. See, this is my concern. He would not drink a beer because he hated the taste so much it would almost make him throw up. But he trained himself over the years to the point that now he is a champion, record-breaking beer drinker. He can drink more beer than anybody you know.
He should be very proud.
And that's what this woman is doing with her tiny little kids,
she is
she's
is
giving
not.
Them O'Doul's now so that one day they will be the beer drinkingest, screamingest, hollerinest out in the street waiting for their car to come. And
I like the back with the demo.
Making a scene. And they can, when they're in therapy, they can say, well, Mom used to give us O'Doul's.
I don't think that this is that big of a problem. I really don't.
Well, we can agree that you're wrong.
Is that like the same as me letting my kids get temporary tattoos and then they're going to
be... See, they're going to be covered.
That's right. Or get them some of that little kid's fake weed. Let them roll their little fake doobies.
Oh, I'll go get the... I sent you the picture of the kitty joints.
What is that? Where did you see that?
Meowarwana. It was at All Pets Considered. Shout out to them on Battleground Avenue in Greensboro. But they had a whole line of kitty...
Meowarwana?
It's kitty catnip, but it was like cool little joints. And what you do... First, I was looking at it, and I'm like, do you smoke it and then blow it at the cat's face? Or is the
Come
cat
on,
smoke?
Man.
No, you break
been
it
doing
open
that for years.
Sprinkle it out, yeah.
So it's just fun for the owner on the way to giving it to the cat.
It's like, so it's an inside joke.
It's really just catnip. It's just in joint form.
Yeah, it's catnip with the added risk of being arrested.
Also, it's a fun prank to play on your friends.
Is it?
Hello, 911. But seriously. All right. Are we about at time?
High school me would have sold those to somebody.
Oh, God, don't say it.
All right. Yes, we're about out of time.
All right. Enjoy your O'Doul's with the kids if you're going to be like that and oil up your pumpkin. Any parting words there, Charlie?
I'm good.
All right. Maddie?
I'm good.
Man, I got to go find tater sticks now.
You can do it. I wonder if they still come in cans. Remember they used to come in those little hard cans?
They have to be in a can with the pop-off top. Yes. Heck yeah.
We love you so much, man. If we get to do another one of these podcasts next week, I bet you I want it to be better than this one. Oh, we want to say hello to our friend Creed, who listens in Atlanta, Georgia, and will often call the Simon line at 336-373-0987 and make comments. And,
hey, Creed.
We appreciate that. We appreciate any activity or any attention. That's why we do everything we do is for attention and love, or, you know, even if you pretend, it's cool.
So, I think Creed hits us up on the Instagram, too.
We got an Instagram?
We do. It's 987 Simon.
Cool. Get on that, too, because I didn't know. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much. Next time.
And bye, kids.
Okay, bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.